All right, cool. What are you doing this time?
Well, Gary, I have been messing around with new merch ideas for the network.
Oh, business, baby!
Yeah, so I figure we might do a little bit of a preview here. My thing is something that everybody needs to have in their house or on hand is a deck of cards.
I agree.
Yeah,
like what if the power goes out, but it's still light outside?
Mm-hmm. What if a bunch of relatives show up and you don't really want to talk with them, but you still need to be at a table with them, and you just kind of want to have something to do with your hands? Guess what? Mm-hmm. Penny Ante poker.
Yeah. What if Setzer joins your party? Yes. And his life is just a chip on your pile, ante up?
Exactly. What are you going to do? How are you going to pay your way onto that airship, buddy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh.
So I messed around with some designs, and I've got the first prototype here. It's from a discount vendor. You know, okay. didn't want these to be too terribly expensive. You know, it's more
sure.
It's not like bicycle or anything. So I'm just going to pop these open, and we can take a look.
It's unicycle. We can afford
the full. No, it's a tricycle. Bikes get more prestigious as they lose tires.
I think I would agree with that if it wasn't for a certain gentleman known as the unicycler.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, so the unipiper would be much more bearable if he didn't have the bagpipes.
Oh, yeah. I guess the piper is the operative
problem
with him. The audio, I mean, the visual equivalent's not, the element is not great, but the audio element is the worst element.
Yeah. The audio element is the thing that forces itself into your conversation and into your head.
If he had like, if he was exactly the same, but he had like a 40 wheel truck. I don't think he'd be any better. In fact, right. I think he'd be more of a menace. Yeah.
Especially, you know? Especially on a convention floor.
The convention, going up and down an escalator, like twisted metal.
Yeah, I don't want a Dracula piper.
I can't do a bagpipe version of Dracula.
Oh man, Gary.
Hmm?
Okay. So this isn't like the regular kind of deck.
You're driving, man.
Every single one of these. No. Every single one of these cards has just rules for different card games on it.
Oh, you got the all rules version.
So maybe it's because I cheaped out, and maybe it's because I forgot to check a box here. But some of these are games, so why don't I just cut this deck and hand you one?
No, that makes sense to me.
Yeah. So I'll do a couple of trick shuffles here.
Ooh, maybe false cuts.
Yeah. Up somebody's and down.
Been subscribed
and
left to my YouTube.
Right. Well. I bite your tongue. Yeah,
somebody's been to Cardistry, youtube.com/Cardistry.
That's a different show.
Okay. No, explain that joke.
What?
Explain that joke.
A different show?
Yeah. What do you mean it's a different show?
No.
Oh, yeah, tube talking.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's what I was trying to figure out. I was like, what the fuck, man? Like, we can talk about, like, you realize we have to talk about a Phantasy Star Online game, right? Like, we can talk about whatever we want.
No. My joke was just an allusion. If you had mentioned something from Binding of Isaac, I also would have said that's a different show.
Now that makes sense to me.
Yes.
That's me being slow on the upcake. Not upcake.
Hi, upcake.
I'm not slow. I'm not saying, what's up, cake? What's up with you?
Our group text is now called upcake.
I'm like, I am not slow on the upcake.
Uh-huh.
I'm slow on the uptake.
Yeah.
When there's cake about, I take it out.
Yeah. Go ahead and grab one of these cards here. Let's see what bad boy this is.
Yep. It's now, do I show it to the audience, or do I memorize it, or what should I do with it?
Oh, no, I don't know any tricks. I'm literally just randomizing it. Okay. What's it say?
It says Phantasy Star Online Episode 3 CARD Revolution.
The trick was I stole your wallet, and I'm going. Okay,
well, that's all right. I'll just sit here and read this.
Can you explain the rules of this to me?
because
the tutorial didn't work for me. It didn't take.
you have a stat and you roll a dice to add to it, but then also you summon things depending on whether you're an arcs or a hunter. And
you floop the pig. Yeah.
Yeah. The hunter has equipment, but the arcs summon monsters. It's kind of on a grid. My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
And you're listening to Abject Suffering, where we went to heaven and now we're perverts.
That's really good.
Yep. Pretty good one. Yeah. And I am extremely disappointed in this game.
Yeah.
And not disappointed in you listening by extension, but like, I don't know, man.
Yeah. So this was it's a backer demand by Gabe, who said, I loved Phantasy Star Online episode 1 and 2. So surely 3 must be good. A massive departure from the games it's the sequel to. Extremely slow, obscure menu driven combat. At least they didn't have to make any new assets.
It is very hard to talk about this in the context of this show. I'm glad that you read the Gabe statement, because I was going to have my porcupine quills up for Backdoor Wolf.
Mm-hmm.
Like, somebody was hoping like, oh, they're going to fall in love with this and like, just do it.
Right.
Cause it's a little obtuse to get into, in the time constraints we have here. And I found it, I just found this very extremely annoying.
Yeah.
To play.
Yeah. It's not very good. And like, so this was the second run up I made at this. This got bumped. It got the crunch bump is the thing. Yeah,
I got crunch bumped. You know, which happens to everybody. I get crunch bumps whenever I eat Captain Crunch.
Oh, well, yeah, because you're allergic to half the ingredients.
Yeah, because I'm allergic to berryliciousness.
You haven't reached the karate belt level to take that berryliciousness.
Last time I ate a Pop-Tart, I was in anaphylactic shock. 3 days. So,
God, you know what I've been hungry for recently?
Let's go. Please quickly go into the snack zone.
Yes,
please get me away from the sci-fi anime nonsense.
When you were a kid, did you ever have s'mores flavored Pop-Tarts?
Hell yes, I did. God. I've had s'mores flavored Pop-Tarts in the last 5 years.
What?
Yeah.
They were the most, it was the most delicious thing in the entire world. Like,
they're good, dude.
Yeah.
Like, cause you heat them up. Like I am, you know, so where do you fall on the Pop-Tarts toast or untoast spectrum? Is it an always toast, a sometimes toast, or a never toast?
So it depends on the flavor, whether it is an always or sometimes. I generally toast. And by when I say I generally toast, I mean 20 years ago, the last time I ate a Pop-Tart, I toasted. Yeah.
I am a sometimes toast. It depends on the flavor. But the s'mores are exquisite toasted.
Yes. So like a fruit flavored one, I can generally do untoasted, like the strawberry one. But like for the s'more or my other favorite one that I liked, the the brown sugar one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Maple and brown sugar, another classic Pop-Tart.
Yeah, maple brown sugar. Those tended to be much better toasted. Yeah. Except for like the weird like the purple Pop-Tart that looked like Rocco's shirt from Rocco's Modern Life. That was ostensibly fruit flavored, but that tasted so much better toasted.
Yeah. Getting real drunk on purple tart.
Yeah.
Was like how I spent a lot of my college days. The reason why this, if people are listening to this, like, first of all, we'll get it.
Like we've got 25 minutes, so don't worry.
And I've got about 3 minutes of things to say about Phantasy Star Online episode 3, CARD Revolution. But the thing that makes the graham cracker one special, or the s'mores one special, is that the dough is like a graham crackery dough.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just like the weird Pop Tart, like all purpose cookie
that
the rest of it's made out of.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will not turn my nose up at a Pop-Tart. The vending machine downstairs in the laundry room sells Pop-Tarts.
Hmm.
I've eaten a Pop-Tart, not a s'more one, but a Pop-Tart in the last 12 months.
Oh.
Just because I was like, man, I would like to have that now. And then I spend $1 and I have it.
Yes.
You know, it's not good for you. It's absolute trash. It's worse for you than Crunch Berries, probably.
Once
in a while.
At least like Crunch Berry is not trying to keep like wet ingredients shelf stable in a vending machine.
Yes. And wet is doing a lot of work in that sentence. Like, the material of the inside of a Pop-Tart is a very interesting.
Yeah.
In Portland, there was a move. Like, there's a lot of like little bespoke bakeries and stuff, of course, because it's that kind of town, for high end Pop-Tarts. And they're awesome.
Hmm.
like people have kind of taken like the things that you remember about Pop-Tarts, but made them from scratch with good ingredients.
Okay.
And they're really good.
Huh.
You can get it in like bakeries here.
Yeah. I always thought toaster strudels were bullshit.
Oh, I love toaster strudels, dude.
Oh, man. Yeah. I didn't care for
it at all.
The
toaster family at breakfast, I was real into.
Yeah. No, like for me, Pop-Tarts was like, you know, because I like from very early on, you know, because both of my parents, you know, worked a government job and they had to be at work at like 6:30 or 7. It was an awful lot of like, Cole has to wake himself up and Cole has to make himself breakfast and Cole has to walk down to the bus to go to school. And like a Pop-Tart was generally like the easiest breakfast to do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, even now it's generally the easiest breakfast.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like most mornings I microwave, like I've been microwaving myself a bowl of oatmeal.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty easy.
Yeah.
But it's not Pop-Tart easy.
No. It's not literally unwrap this and mow down on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause you can raw dog a Pop-Tart like nothing.
Mm-hmm. You can do it while you're walking. It's fine.
You can raw dog a lot of things.
Yeah. Too many things my doctor says.
Yeah. Too many things. Gotta stop. What's up with kids these days? Raw dogging and going on their cell phone.
Oh, you
know, just raw dogging their cell phone. I've been raw dogging my data plan. So I had an idea for something to do for this episode.
Okay.
Because this is an energy that I want to, because playing this game reminded me of something.
Okay.
And the snack discourse could bubble up or be part of this easily.
Mm-hmm.
I have the thing I wanted to complain about this game, and then I had another like rebuttal field style like annoyance.
Okay.
I wanted to bring up and just see if it like generated anything, and I thought we could ping pong some like annoyances.
I mean, you don't have to disclaim this. I would assume that anything you bring up would be intended to start conversation.
Yeah. I just you know, it was intentional this time. A lot of time that's just kind of
gotcha. Okay.
To do due diligence, but to say my tight couple on the game.
Mm-hmm.
It's too esoteric, it's too talky, and Phantasy Star Online bums me out because I was a Phantasy Star fan as a kid. It is a really good example of like losing the text limits and stuff.
Yeah, how that hurts a
franchise for me.
Yeah.
Like I know Phantasy Star Online is really big, like specifically the Waypointosphere.
Yes.
Of like internet people I follow love these games. Mm-hmm. I think they're bad, and I think they look bad, and they have bad stories and bad aesthetics. And I am not into them. And I wanted to like them because I got Phantasy Star Online, the first one for Dreamcast, because I loved Phantasy Star 2, 3, and 4.
Mm-hmm.
And it is not the same thing.
Mm.
They don't feel the same to me.
No. It's pretty much just kind of like appropriating some of the dislike language a little bit.
The spells, you know, basically.
Spells and stuff, yeah. There's like different races and things like that. It's all about raising and customizing your mag. Yeah. I had no like youthful, you know, I didn't play a Phantasy Star game until we did 4 for WoF.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't have that association. However, around the time that Phantasy Star Online came out on the Dreamcast, I was really, really hungry to get online and play a multiplayer game.
Sure.
And like just there were a couple of like episodes of, I think, EGM that had like features about how this worked. And like descriptions of the mechanics and like how the lobbies worked and like examples of like Japanese phrases you could use because everybody played in the same, you know, kind of space, you know, it wasn't lobbied by region or anything. Like I just read those over and over again and begged my parents to get, you know, to get a Sega Net or whatever. It never worked.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, didn't work. So, I pretty much dropped that fascination after I got EverQuest and went that way as opposed to playing these on console. So like this is one of those games that I played entirely through magazine coverage.
I could see it.
Yes. But yeah, this is like, you know, maybe there's the core of something good here. Like the tutorial didn't really do a very good job of explaining the flow of play, but like a grid of, you know, a turn-based battle on a grid where like your positioning matters seems cool to me. And like building a deck for particular strengths and weaknesses seems cool. Like all of those base parts are good, but like I only got to do one match because when you start the game, it's like, okay, you got to run around to these different you've got to run around to these different facilities on your little ship here, go talk to your team, go to the terminal to select your deck, then talk to everybody again, and then go to the warp to get to the mission.
Yeah. So the speed run of this, which is 4 hours and 18 minutes.
Jesus.
Takes 8 minutes to get to the first battle.
Good God.
And that's the speed run.
Yeah.
Like, what was going on in that generation?
I have no idea.
If you play like a Xenosaga,
mm-hmm.
or a Rogue Galaxy or something, like the PS2 Dreamcast generation of JRPGs, and this mm-hmm. isn't strictly a JRPG, but like of that kind of flavor of game, were out of their fucking minds with exposition.
Mm-hmm.
They were so horny for word counts that like you just cannot play them. Like I was losing my mind in this game.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, why? You know, it is an ancient thing that stories start with action.
Yep.
It's called a medias res. It's like, you know, it's very old.
Like, I don't even care if you do the, you're probably wondering how I got here.
Yeah. Even if you do that, if you start and then flashback,
yeah.
At the very least, you're starting with some kind of action, as opposed to, you know, if you're the fastest person in the world at playing this game,
mm-hmm.
8 minutes of wandering around and talking to people on the ship.
Yeah.
That's too much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, this is probably an uncharitable read, but I think that it's, you know, just confusing quantity with quality a little bit. Like, oh yeah. Like, you know, what we want to project is the image that this is a well thought out world. And the way that we're going to do that is to literally just tell and not show. And we're going to put as many things as possible in the way of you engaging with the mechanics of this thing. Even though, like, by all rights, this is like, you know, it's a multiplayer. It's like meant to be a multiplayer game. You're doing the story mode, but like, you know, I would expect it to be much more mechanics focused, even in the story mode, than it actually is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. And like, this is in, you know, and I know that there are people who are incredibly invested in the Phantasy Star Online lore.
Yes.
Like, they just exist. I know that they're extant.
Mm-hmm.
This serving that audience, even if, like, you know, there's no reason to serve me instead of that audience.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I think that it has made these games age worse.
Yeah.
Like, it is a bigger ask to get into them. Like, when people are like, I'm going to play some Xenosaga. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of, like, kind of ironic, like, I might fuck around and play some Xenosaga. Isn't that weird? It's a bad game, right, guys? There's a lot of that energy to it.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's not like, hey, you haven't played Shadow of the Colossus? Fuck. Like, you have got to play that. It's more like, well, I'm going to be kind of performatively a weeb on Twitter and play all three Xenosaga games.
Yeah, and talk and about the philosophical implications.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or just like screen cap awkward dialogue and be like, this is good, actually.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of that I see, and it's tedious.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I find it really tedious.
Yeah. You know, if you're approaching it, and, you know, like, okay, I'm going to play this, there's probably value in going back to that and playing it so other people don't have to, and like, sure. giving it a good summation, right? Showing people like, yeah, here's this, but like, just trying to make a joke out of all of it is not necessarily that good or clever, actually. You know,
it's a weird attitude I keep seeing, you know, through things like Legend of Dragoon.
Yeah.
You know? Well,
and I did this a little bit. Like, when I streamed the 2008 Alone in the Dark, all of my tweets were, I'm going to be streaming the masterpiece Alone in the Dark Inferno,
mm-hmm.
or like, I'm going to be streaming the actually very good game. But like, during the stream, it was all me like just saying like, yeah, here are these systems. This might have been a good idea, but look at what a train wreck it is, because they literally didn't think anything through.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a weird, like, there's an attitude sometimes of the inherent, like, just absolute pleasure and joy of something that is just bad.
Yeah.
And I don't really understand that. I think that something can be really bad and a lot of fun can be had from it, but it's mm-hmm. not just because it is bad. It's not an instant and automatic gold star lol just because something happens to be bad.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
That's my opening volley for Crankathon 2020 episode format.
Yeah. Yeah. But like, you know, Phantasy Star Online in particular, like, I know that these have nothing to do with each other, but like, after this, like, I basically looked at this and thought like, yeah, okay, it's not for me. I missed the moment. And actually, like, the aesthetic of this is weird. you know, based mm-hmm. on what I've read about it. And then like there's just some stuff that came out after it, like the PS2 Star Ocean games, and then like the Tales games, which yeah. you know, those games have their defenders, and I've not played one, so I'm really, you know, I would just be, you know, speaking ignorantly or, you know, without being informed if I said that those were actually bad. I can't say it's bad, but like based on all the video and the screenshots and like descriptions that I've seen, it kind of feels an awful lot like this. Just very poorly conveyed, just lots and lots of info kind of hitting you with this kind of, you know, sci-fi early Saturday morning Japanese cartoon aesthetic.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, which ultimately will add up to being that war is bad.
Yes.
Like, you know, whatever the theme of this will be, it's going to be something along those lines.
Yeah.
The, and it's a weird thing because I like complicated mechanics. Like, I'm way into mm-hmm. crunch.
Yes.
But there's a way of expressing crunch that I think is superior generally.
Yeah.
You know, like, this isn't even just like a weird Western chauvinist way of looking at it. Like, I mm-hmm. think Final Fantasy Tactics is a very crunchy game that expresses that crunch really well.
I was going to say Final Fantasy XII does a very good job of setting that up.
Yeah, like onboard you reasonably mm-hmm. to something that is complicated. Yeah. Like, I love a complicated game.
Give me a high ceiling on, you know, mechanical, like, even just synergies, right? Like, I want to be able to look at this and consider the implications of using two things together and mm-hmm. be pleasantly surprised when it ends up being game breaking. Like, that is a really good feeling.
But this has a lot of weird, like, kind of chaff because they were making a new thing and they didn't really know what they were mm-hmm. doing. And
yeah,
you know, it was on a weird in between E system that is incredibly overrated and mm-hmm. falsely positively remembered.
Okay. This is on GameCube, so I'm going to assume you're talking about GameCube.
I was talking about the Dreamcast, but I was thinking of the original Phantasy Star Online. GameCube is fine. Yeah. There's like five good games on it.
Card Revolution, though, like, it also suffers by like a lot of stuff that you should accomplish in a menu. You accomplish by walking around your little home base.
Yeah.
And just like talking to people. Like, I have no idea who's going to say something relevant, but you got to go to one room to, you know, to mess around with your deck. You got to go into another room to learn about your teammates, et cetera, down the line. I would much rather that just be a menu.
Yep. It's a bummer.
Yes.
I found this to be a big bummer. It's well thought of.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bummer.
Yeah.
Next topic.
Okay. I was surprised. The lowest review that this got was a 3 on GameFAQs.
Yeah, it's surprising to me as well.
Yeah.
Like, it's a real 7 out of 10 for people, or higher.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a combination of things where I'm colorblind, which I've mentioned before, and I care about food safety. I don't like eating expired food.
Yeah. No. Okay.
And what happens is if something is moldy, I can't always see it because artisanal breads have like a dusting of flour mm-hmm. that looks a little bit like mold to me.
So like the blue or the green will not necessarily stick out to you. It will just look
just bread. Mm-hmm. But why aren't expiration dates on food standardized? Like, why can't I look at the same place on the package, like above the UPC?
Mm-hmm.
And that's always where the expiration date is. And it's in the same format for mm-hmm. every food, as opposed to being this weird thing where you're like taking your food and doing a mist puzzle, or like you're doing like a Resident Evil trying to find the back of the frame that you can open up in a Resident Evil game.
Yep.
To like try to find, this is written on slanted 4-point font on the lid.
Yeah.
And this is day month year.
Yep.
You know why?
Yeah,
that like sucks.
Oh, they printed the date across a part where the plastic on this was folded. So I've got to do a little Mad Magazine.
Worst thing was boring fold in.
Yeah.
To figure out whether my bread is safe to eat.
Yeah,
you know.
No, this is really relatable. I also agree. It also, like, I don't know, because I'll be me, I'll take this to the point where, you know, this has a systemic problem. Relates a lot to food spoilage, right?
Oh yeah.
Or food wastage, rather. I really wish that there was just a date that said, hey, just like definitely don't eat this after this
dangerous
point. Dangerous buy. Best buy is not good. Sell by is not good.
Sell by is really frustrating. Yeah,
sell by is very bad. Additionally, how about this? The expiration or the longevity of something in a fridge or in a freezer changes depending on if you've opened it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I make myself, you know, most days I will make myself like a turkey sandwich for lunch, right?
Weird flex, but okay. Go off,
King. but like, you know, I just say it didn't take me a while. I learned this back in college, but it still freaks me out. It's like, okay, you look at the date on the side of the thing. No, that's like the date where it will go bad if it's still closed. Once you open it, tick tock, baby.
Can't
like,
stop. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, okay, you know, once you take the first slice off of this, you have 4 days in order to eat the rest of it. I wish that information was on there as well.
Give me a little like Dungeons and Dragons style stat block.
Yes.
Above the UPC.
Literally
all this information.
Put it on the nutritional facts. Yeah.
It's way more important to me than, you know, the amount of like any other nutrition block thing other than calories, carbs, and fiber.
Yes.
You know, like, yeah, it drives me up the fucking wall because I end up throwing out a lot of food because I don't want to, like, well, this smells okay, but it looks like it's past the date, mm-hmm. and I don't really know anything about this, and I don't know if that's mold or I don't know if that's just me, like, you know, there's no 3D texture to this mold. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm anticipating somebody in the Slack being like, how can you not tell it's mold? It's like, well, trust me. Like,
how can you not tell it's mold? Well, I've lived on this earth for 39 years and I've eaten food for most of them.
Yeah, exactly. Like I have the same experience you do. Sometimes bread is a little moldy.
Yeah.
And I've eaten it because I can't see the color of the mold. And I think you might be underestimating how much you use color to differentiate mm-hmm. food safety.
Yeah.
Not you, Cole, but
straw. You're the straw man that you've invented. Yeah.
But it's like I just end up throwing it out because the gamble is bad. Mm-hmm. Like me getting these two slices of turkey or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, is not worth me getting crippling stomach pain and diarrhea.
Yeah.
If I fuck up,
you know, or, you know, and just forgive me if this is me being like really like delicate or whatever. But I've got garbage guts. Mm-hmm. If I eat something that tastes really bad, so like even if the turkey will not kill me or the cheese will not kill me, if I accidentally get a mouthful of gross tasting mold, that's actually going to have a pretty bad effect on my day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to be tasting it for the rest of the day, no matter how much I rinse it out. Like it's going to be like basically like if I was a sim, my mood would take a permanent hit for that day.
Yeah. You'd have a moodlet.
Yeah.
You'd have like the mold moodlet.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So just make that stuff. You know, we have the technology.
Mm-hmm.
So there we go.
Yeah. I'm sure there's like a states' rights argument against that as well. Like, overregulation. First, you want us to put the calories on here.
But I'd love to read the fucking states' right. About, oh, the nanny state wants to know whether you're poisoning yourself. Come on.
I say we let them poison themselves.
Yes. Like, yeah, it's your choice. It's your choice as an American. If you want to eat mold, you should be able to eat mold. Why should Uncle Sam try to stop you from eating mold?
Yeah.
Nanny state.
Yeah. It's also a big problem with people who are like, you know, more profoundly visually impaired as well. Like dealing with strategies for dealing with food spoilage and for keeping track of your
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a huge deal.
Yeah. Make that stuff easy.
So yeah, it's an accessibility thing. And like anything that comes down to accessibility, all of us are only temporarily not disabled. You know?
Yes. Yeah. we're on our way towards becoming like you people listening to this who are not colorblind, you'll be lucky if the worst thing that happens to your eyes is you get worse about colors.
Yeah.
As you get older, it will be worse than that.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
no, your body is slowly converting itself into a nightmare factory.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's just so. Second topic. I think it sucks that as a man of carriage.
OK.
For both of us that every once in a while when you talk about food mm-hmm. in a general sense, somebody will give you one of those like little like, I don't know, like everybody doesn't fucking eat food.
Yes.
Like it is not the most universal thing on earth.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea that like, I mean, this didn't happen with the Captain Crunch thing. It happened at some other like snack focused podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody made like, you know, with enough emojis to try to make it gentle, you know, a joke about my diet, which nobody who's listening to this knows anything about.
Right.
Other than like what I directly told you about eating a couple bowls of Captain Crunch.
Mm-hmm.
But like you should be able to be a man of carriage or a woman of carriage or a person of carriage and still talk about one of the most universal parts of the human experience without a bunch of people concern trolling and tisking you as if like you bringing up food like they don't eat it.
Mm hmm.
That shit fucking sucks.
Yeah, no, I agree with that as well. Like, I have a certain amount of sensitivity around that when I talk about my like IBS, you know?
Yeah.
Because of like the, I mean, I don't know, let's be like cliche here, the media, like just basically laziness of like, oh, he's a big guy. He farts a lot.
Exactly.
He's got to poop. Yeah. It's probably because he eats so much. It's like, actually, no, it's like a stress reaction.
Yeah, it's a medical condition that has to do with my brain that I have nothing to do with. Same thing, like, you know, so I'm diabetic, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I'm not super sensitive to diabetes jokes.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also not something where it's like, oh, you know, Gary Butterfield's responsibility failure is the reason why this happened. It's like, I grew up in an extremely fucked up, like, environment where food was catch as catch can a lot of the time. And, like, instead of, you know, a breakfast that had nutrients and stuff, like I would get a little like bag of vending machine cookies because that's what was available in the hotel we were living at, because that was, you know, the childhood I had. And that kind of thing has an effect.
Yep.
Like it has a kind of a knock on effect. Like I ate a lot better as soon as I moved out from my parents' house, but there were things that, you know, I didn't understand. Like, you know, bread is not great. I did not know that.
Yeah. Like that's not something, you know, like people tell you.
Right, it can be, but it's not something you're just born knowing.
Yeah,
you know, and then the so like that happened. I have it totally under control.
Mm-hmm.
Like all of my, you know, I go and get readings on the regular, and my blood is great.
Yeah,
you know, but every once in a while, someone just like ha ha ha, you know, well, you know, as a diabetic, blah blah blah, or like, oh, you know, oh, you're eating, maybe you shouldn't be eating these gummy candies, and it's like, fucker.
Hey, do you understand what diabetes is?
Yeah, like I assure you, I know more about this than you do.
Yeah.
Also, it's okay for me to have a treat, and you can't make the assumption that it's all I eat based on me talking about a treat, because talking about a treat is fun.
Yeah.
You know, shut the fuck up, straw men, and also real people in the past.
Also, especially real people in the past.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, and also, you know, like, hey, like, not every, you know, like, diet isn't the only factor in developing diabetes.
Like, no. Like stress is a huge blood sugar. Like I was diagnosed at the time I was getting divorced.
Right.
Like that is a huge factor for blood sugar.
Cortisol is a poison that your body produces for itself. And that destroys important stuff if it's in there for too long.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, so it is a very frustrating reality. One of the comparisons I think about a lot in terms of like medicalness and just like you know, people of carriage is like, I'm not a giant bomb guy, but I you know, when Ryan Davis died, I know a lot of people who were really upset by it. I understand everything. I remember seeing the internet reaction and just everyone just be like, oh, heart attack, fat guy, like tweets about that constantly. And I just wanted to be like, what is wrong with you, for one? But two, also, that's so ignorant.
Yeah.
Like the you know, the first person I met who had a heart attack in real, like the two people I know who have had heart attacks in real life, were both pretty fit.
Yep.
Like my mom had a heart attack from smoking.
Yep.
Had nothing to do with like eating. Mm-hmm. And then one of my friend's fathers had a heart attack who was like in pretty good shape.
Yeah.
Like had a heart attack while exercising.
Yes.
You know,
and we're not denying the link between, you know, being overweight and, you know, chronic medical conditions. That's not where we're coming here, but like to immediately jump to that and treat it like it was the entire story is like dismissive, and especially in relation to somebody who died, really disrespectful. And like, if somebody else who is having trouble seeing, who is having their own struggles with that, sees that, guess what, like, you're not actually helping. In fact, you may be driving them further into shame, which is a gigantic factor in, you know, eating disorders, etc. Like, again, yeah. I'm not trying to like hop on here with the bummer parade, but it's like just a lazy conversational cliche that actually does have a negative consequence for people.
And people buy into it under the guise of like, you know, being helpful, or at the very least, like in some, you know, on their absolute first thought, it's like, oh, this is coming from a good place. Mm. And I would urge people to examine that.
Yeah.
It's not coming from a good place.
Yeah.
Like it is coming from a bad place. You just don't know it.
Yeah.
You know, you can make a lot of mistakes tripping over yourself, trying to be a good person. Mm-hmm. If you don't stop and think about it.
Yeah.
For like 2 fucking seconds,
you know, just like think about what this person has probably already heard.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't know anything about them. Like, mm-hmm. that is a good thing to keep in your mind in general. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't know anything about this person.
Yeah.
So I just frustrating because mm-hmm. I even down when nobody does anything about it, I always feel like a weird little tinge of like bracing. For yeah. it, when we bring up like snack things, like mm-hmm. I was like, oh yeah, I had a Pop-Tart in the last year. Why should I like have a weird like little anxiety spike
yeah.
of saying that on air? Because there is a non-zero chance that someone's going to be like, stop eating Pop-Tarts, you fat fuck.
You know? I had a Pop-Tart in the past year. And it's yeah. like,
in November, I ate a Pop-Tart. A Pop-Tart come November.
I look forward to it every year.
Yes. Please, Father, I've been very agreeable. May I have one Pop-Tart?
It gives me hope in this grim autumn.
Like, I eat one half of the Pop-Tart in November, and then I have the other half of the Pop-Tart in May.
Yeah.
And it's the, you know, I make the year a sandwich between Pop-Tarts.
Oh, geez. You know, and it's like, you know, whenever, you know, if somebody says, like, oh, there's that Pop-Tart, you know, like, there are lots of things that people regularly consume that are worse than Pop-Tarts. Like, a 16-ounce Kraft beer, for example.
Yeah, totally.
Like hey, do you know how much sugar is in that?
Like, I don't, you know what, Jabronis? I have one beer a month. I don't drink anymore. So get off my dick about Pop-Tart. Like,
yeah.
I just I don't know. It's very frustrating to me though, as a cultural thing. And I understand, again, you know, just for due diligence, like mm-hmm. this is something that affects women a lot and yes. fucks them up, and is yeah. way, you know, they read magazines about it. Like mm-hmm. it's way, way worse. But it's yeah. also just kind of a societal thing that affects everybody and mm-hmm. just like absolutely sucks the stars from the sky.
Yeah. And it's you know, like a lot of this show concerns itself with online etiquette, right? And definitely when this comes up, I don't know, like, I just think about this, the fact that Reddit closed down the like the fat shaming subreddit. Think about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, too bad Reddit doesn't shut down anything.
Yeah. What yeah. do you want to be a fucking 4chan?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
guy, because that's how you become a 4chan person. Yeah,
just every couple of years being shunted to another, like a chan with an increasing number.
Yeah, yeah. Like a worse and dumber group yeah. of people who are more anonymous and more shitty. Mm-hmm. You know, I just yeah, it is no good. I think that like the idea that this show concerns itself with internet etiquette is interesting, because I can imagine annoying some people, mm-hmm. but I also think that there is a through line of the entire history of Duck Feed that is in all of our shows, which is like how to be a good person.
Yeah,
has been a weird undercurrent of conversation, and I think this is just part of it. Like,
yeah.
I think the fact that we look at game facts and we do more online research mm-hmm. for this episode, and it's research about the communication that happens online, not just, you know, articles that could be in a book that happen to be online.
Yeah.
You know, it's message boards and stuff like that. Like, it ends up surfacing that kind of like, mm-hmm. here are ways to be like a good person.
Yeah.
And that's a continuous quest.
Yeah. And I want to make it clear, neither of us believe we have that on lockdown.
No,
you know,
no, it's a search.
We try our best. And like, insofar as we are documenting it here, it is documenting a process of trying yes. to understand that. And it definitely does surface it, because we see examples of these really bad behaviors when we look this stuff up online. You know, it's you know, and like, it is a thing that fascinates me personally, because
yeah.
I don't know, the way people act online definitely has like a much bigger impact than how somebody talks to me at the store. Because guess what? I'm only at the store a couple of times a week.
Yeah.
Like, yep, yep. I'm here. I'm plugged in
the heat machine 24
hours a day. Yeah. So yeah. Like, I understand if it like annoys people, but I would hope that there's like, you know, a certain universal appeal to it.
I would think so.
Yeah.
And like it is the experience of being alive.
Yeah.
Like figuring this stuff out is the human condition. It's what we're here for, is to figure that out.
Yeah.
You know, so. And then as a palate cleanser, because it's all the time we have, somebody in the after suffering just posted a clickhole thing that was shots fired, Quizno hired Jared Fogle claiming that their sub's cured his pedophilia. And there's a picture of Jared where it has a quote that's, "I'm only into adults now," next to a Quizno's logo. I'm dying. It's sending me.
Oh Jesus, that's really good.
Seriously epic move.
Damn Quiznos. The marketing world. Damn Quiznos, throw that shade.
Yeah. Yes, queen.
Yeah.
God, that's good.
Just his smile. Oh man.
That's good.
Yeah. I like that quite a bit.
That's good. All right. Well, thanks for suggesting this, Gabe.
Yeah, thank you. I don't have anything to add on top of that.
nothing to add. Mm-hmm. We appreciate you. If you want to hear more hard-hitting commentary about how to be a good person online, you can go to patreon.com/techfeedtv and get a bunch of bonus episodes that sometimes talk about it.
Yeah, it's kind of what we concern ourselves with accidentally. So, if you go there, you can get bonus episodes of this show that might concern themselves with that, or with bad games, or with interesting games, any of those. If you would like to see like the full offering. So you get 2 a month at the $5 level. But if you back at $10, you can get like 89 of these right now.
Yep.
And you can see every single one of these that we've covered on 10buckducks.com.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we appreciate it.
Mm hmm.
And what should they do next time? Until next time, Cole.
Until next time. And remember, don't give up, skeleton. Hey, Jeremy. Like, I had to read it because it was there. I don't know. That's a good show.
Did Jerry
show.
Put that in there?
Yeah. Yeah. It's from the Don't Give Up Skeleton Twitter page. Yeah.
I'm not surprised. That's very funny.
Yes, it's very funny. So don't give up, skeleton.